Well, thanks to our worship leaders today. There's no place I'd rather be than to be here with my seniors today to celebrate their achievement, to be with their families. If someone's wiping tears away, it's most likely the mother of one of these lovely graduates, or a dad, or a relative as well, and maybe it might just be you and me. We tend to put a few things to think about in the bulletin. I love, my wife is tired of me quoting C.S. Lewis this last week, as he says, "Isn't it funny how day by day nothing changes? But when you look back, everything is different." I think you are probably experiencing that today in your life. Day by day, nothing looks different. But then when we come to a graduation and we look back, everything has changed. Everything is different. And wow, don't you all look lovely today? I know that you all will be just the ones who will be leading a high school and graduation in just a few days, maybe just a few hours for some of you as you make a baccalaureate and take care of all the details that need to be taken. The early crowd, the 8 o'clock crowd, as they were going out, said, "You know, it's really great to be a senior." They weren't seniors in high school. They were seniors. And they said, "You know, this is a great celebration of seniors today. But I hope it's the day that causes you to feel a little bit younger as well." So turn to one of your neighbors and say to them, "You look 20 years younger today." So just, yeah, indeed. "You look 20 years younger today." Good. Doesn't that make you feel good? Yeah, doesn't that make you feel good? Just receive those words today. Indeed. Well, on a funny note and a self-critical note, someone said about preachers speaking in terms of the sermon not being as long today. Somebody said, "You know, these preachers want to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral," meaning, you know, you always want the center of attention. And so I'm going to try to remove myself a little bit today, as much as I love preaching, and allow for this good spiritual work that needs to take place in our celebrating the faith of these individuals and just giving ourselves to the order of the day. Chose a scripture from Mark's gospel. You know, Mark is fast moving. Mark is impatient. Mark uses the term "immediately" over and over again. Immediately Jesus does this, immediately Jesus does that. And the scripture that we're reading today is when Jesus is really in the groove, passionate about his ministry. He is preaching and healing and casting out demons and traveling, and he is moving so fast and he is so engaged in his ministry that those around him say about him, "He is beside himself." The scripture we'll read in just a moment says that they said he was out of his mind. And I want us to think about our lives in terms, is there anything important enough in our lives that somebody might say about us? They're so excited, they're so passionate, they're so joyous, they're beside themselves, and maybe even say about us, you know, they're out of their minds. They've got dreams that are just far too big, and they're expecting miracles from God that only God could bring about. How about that? So a few verses just to get the touch of Mark and this excitement about the ministry of Jesus. Let's read together. "Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, 'You are the Son of God.' But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.'" Let's pray together. Gracious God, there is not a whole lot of times in our lives that we get so fully engaged in life that we're able to forget about ourselves. But to have that spiritual experience that brings us to you is that time when we completely set aside ourselves and surrender and ask you to be Lord of our lives. We catch a glimpse of how committed Christ was to this message and this ministry from this scripture, and we pray that a bit of it could penetrate our hearts and our minds and be a part of the organization, a part of the formation of these seniors as we entrust them to you today and as we release them out into the world in a brand new way. Come, O Lord, open up our hearts and speak to us, we pray, the message you wish us to hear today. Amen. You may have read about the romance in New York. In New York, few people own a car. Why would you want a car in New York? Where are you going to go and where are you going to park it? Talked to a CNN press agent over at the Asbury Place a couple months ago, and he said, telling me about living in New York and being a reporter there, and he said, you know, I have a press pass, and I can't even park my press vehicle at many places. My charges for parking in New York every day run from anywhere from $150 to $250 on average just to move from one point to the other. Sometimes I cheat and park in the loading zones, and since I have a press pass, sometimes they'll overlook that. Other times they won't. So, romantic couple living in New York. He lives in Bronx. She lives over on the west side. They're in college. Good relationship for the time, and things are as they are in New York. When they get together, they ride the subway. And if you know anything about the subway in New York, at midnight or thereabouts, they change. They take some subways off the routes, and they cause you to rethink where you can connect with the subway lines. And so this couple has carried on this romance for several years while they're in college. And finally, at the end of that time, he decides to ask her to marry him. And so he makes his proposal. There's a long silence. And then she says to him, you know, I don't know if I can take a risk on someone who has never forgotten themselves enough to not make the deadline before the midnight change in schedule comes. There's a lot to be said about that, about this taking the risk to forget about ourselves enough to be beside ourselves, to let something, a romance, a dream, a commitment, to completely take us over. And this is where we find Jesus in the story. He has completely turned loose of his own agenda. And he is preaching and teaching and healing, and people are packing the house. The crowds are getting so big that he gets a boat and he gets offshore so he can speak back to the crowds that are there. People are traveling long distances to hear him preach. And Jesus was garnering during this time a lot of criticism. And I just want you to know, in life, when you become joyful and passionate about something, you're going to find some folks are going to be there to slow you down, to question your motives, to wonder why there's so much joy in your life. You remember the story of King David back in the Old Testament? He is the warrior king. He's defeated the Philistines. He has been able to take possession of the ark, which was the most holy place in the tabernacle. And as they're bringing the ark back in Jerusalem, David, the king, is dancing before his king, which is the Lord God Jehovah. And there are folks who are watching what they think is so undignified of the king of Israel dancing before God. But what David wants to let us know is this enthusiasm and love for God brings about this unique joy, a joy in which sometimes we need to forget about ourselves and be beside ourselves for God and the cause of God. St. Paul, in his writings, Studio Pharisee, who meets Jesus on the Damascus Road, talks to the church and says, as a part of God's body in Christ Jesus, you need to ever be zealous and aglow with the Spirit. You know people who are aglow. It's usually a couple who are in love, especially new love, And, of course, a woman who is about to bear a child, there's just a certain beautiful glow about those particular times in life. And we as Christians need to think about whether or not there's any of that glow of being in love with Christ and recognizing that we are a son or daughter of God. And then finally, there's Jesus and the fact that he was accused of being beside himself, actually being out of his mind in the translation that we read today. You know, Jesus was accused of eating too much and drinking too much wine. Some people said he wasn't even religious enough. Some said he was too political. Other folks said he wasn't political enough. Others said he hung out with the wrong crowd. And as he heals and as people are miraculously cured and as they find hope, his critics say, you know, he must have a power that is related to the demonic world rather than related to God. They are vicious in their criticism of him. And he is beside himself. Who in the world does he think that he is? But you know, of all the things that Jesus is criticized for in the Bible, he's never criticized for being too careful. He is never criticized for being too controlled or too cautious. And so he lives this vibrant faith. Someone said that the faith is about just telling us what not to do or what is wrong. That is such a puny definition about what faith is all about. David danced before God as the ark and presence of God was brought into his midst. Even stoogey old St. Paul says, be aglow with the Spirit and be zealous for your faith. And Jesus himself, as he exercises his faith, has people saying, you know, he's beside himself. What in the world might he be thinking? As we hear this joyful approach to life and to the faith, the question is there anything in our lives that causes us to be joyful? When's the last time that you danced, really danced? When you turned loose of yourself enough to be in the moment and when you were perhaps beside yourself. And so I just want to remind you all that we've had, I'm talking about these parents and Miss Dawn, your youth director, we've all had our foot on the brake in your life while you've had your foot on the gas, always kind of testing the boundaries and the limits. Well, we're about to change places because we're going to put our foot today on the gas pedal in your life because we are setting you free. We are encouraging you to become yourself. We are encouraging the faith that we've tried to introduce to you in Jesus Christ to become real and to become yours. We have tutored you and loved you and prayed for you and sponsored you in mission trips. And man, this church has been there for you. I can say that with all honesty. But you know what? What we are afraid today and why I've chosen this scripture is because I'm afraid you'll put your foot on the brake in your life now. Where we've been trying to hold you back, you're going to start holding yourself back. Because the world has just an unimaginable amount of possibilities just for you. And I don't want you to become too cautious. I don't want you to be criticized totally for being out of your mind every day, but occasionally as you live your life, especially when you get as old as I am, that there'll be somebody who'll say, you know, there's a joy, there's a glow, there's a passion within you that you that God intended for you to have, and you've been working on it and living into that passion. So let's not change completely who's got whose foot on what pedal today, but I just want you to know how we're praying for you and encouraging you and how we love you, but how we want to you to know that joy of occasionally being beside yourself, especially for something that's larger than you. I want you to go and live your passion, but I also want you to go and live that passion that God has placed in your heart as well. And those desires that will awaken you to what God has particularly for you. I love that funny statement, and they're meant to be funny. If at first you don't succeed, don't be too anxious. You want to raise your hand if you want to give that testimony today, you know, or don't be too astonished. Most of us have made some false starts and traveled down some roads that we wonder why we went down it, and after it's all over, say, well, that was nice, but I'm not at the destination that I want to be in. Your children probably won't learn to drive a car. We're dealing with that, us old folks, trying to sort that out. They'll program it through their iPhone, their eyeglasses, their watch. Somehow they'll progress. There should be a little cartoon that'll come up on the screen for us old guys here about self-driven cars. But nothing is going to stop the digital globalization of our world. What it took to operate a self-driving car a year ago encompassed filling up the entire trunk of a normal-sized car. In just 1 year, because of the work in technology with microprocessors, that technology has been shrunk down to a shoebox that can be slipped under the driver's seat of an automobile. Friends, we live in a whole different world, and these folks are going to live in a whole different world than you and I have lived in. It's going to be a challenging world, but it's going to be a world of opportunity. It's going to be a world where we can analyze, prophesize, and optimize in ways that the human family never has been able to do through the digital world that we're in. And we're not looking for leaders. I'm quoting a New York Times writer. We're not looking for leaders who can hold back the wind of globalization and technology, but we're looking for leaders who can make all of us strong. It's really not helpful for someone to ask you, what are you going to be when you grow up? The true question for today, because we're all lifelong learners, is how are you going to be when you grow up? Are you going to be a learner who is always learning and progressing with new technology, with new dreams, with new possibilities? It's how we want to be as an individual. Gone are the days when you go to school and you earn your degree and you go out and you exercise your profession. That is not going to happen in your generation. And hopefully it hasn't happened in mine, but I have some friends who have drugged their feet, and occasionally I have, slow to adjust to the times, but you're going to be a lifelong learner. As someone said a long time ago, it's good to have an education as long as you're willing to keep learning, because there's not a place to stop. Well, God has miracles that are so profound to work in your life, it's amazing. My question today is what is it in your life that's going to cause you to have real joy? Real joy. That's why we're longing for football season to come, because I want to see some joy in those stadiums again. I mean, people never turn loose. I mean, even Auburn people get excited when they score a touchdown. I mean, they get joyful, especially against Alabama, of course, and you all have your way of talking about that. But it's beautiful. It's a part of the human family. What is it that's going to cause you to dance? And what is it going to cause? What will it be that causes you to be beside yourself? I hope that you'll be like Jesus beside yourself when it becomes important to be compassionate towards people. When it comes to connecting people to God, I hope that you will remember the love that's been shown you here in this church. And as Christ speaks to your heart, I know you'll find a way in your future to connect with continuing to share that message of Christ and to be passionate. And I hope that sooner or later, somebody will say about you, you know, I think she's beside herself with her passion and with her joy and with all the hope that she brings. When the world perhaps is giving somebody or some cause or some effort the thumbs down, you'll be giving it a thumbs up, because you know the Christ that does the impossible. You know the Christ that was passionate, and I want you to know that Christ is passionate about you. God loves you more than you can ever, ever imagine, and he has a special, special life for you to live. The same life that he had when he first thought of you, before your mama gave you birth, he thought of you. He knew the life that he wanted you to live. I hope that you'll, and I pray that you'll find it, and that it will be, I know, filled with joy, and filled with ambition, and filled with bringing glory to God through Christ Jesus. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for these beautiful seniors, and we pray for a whole army across this nation, across the world, who are graduating. We pray that they will learn to love and to be filled with that passion that takes them on the journey that you have for each and every one of them. But we pray that they'll take Christ with them, and that as they continue to grow, they know today that you love them and this church loves them and Christ loves them. But may their journey be one that love just becomes clearer, more powerful, more life-shaping than even it is today. We lift them up and entrust them to you. Amen.